95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon.
This is the evil anti-Sluggo kind of day. A, it's Monday. It's not a Friday.
Right.
Secondly, look at the horrible weather out there.
Oh, it's so perfect.
Clear and sunny and blah.
I want it to be this way every day of the year.
Blah.
I'll take a few clouds one day.
Last week was wonderful. Bring it back. Maybe in a couple years we'll get it again. That'll be nice.
Let's talk about today's show, shall we? We're going to talk about swingers today.
The movie?
No.
Okay.
The people.
Right. The people.
People who swing.
Right.
That has always fascinated me.
Really? Interesting.
Not in that I want to do it.
Okay.
But just in that I'm fascinated
right.
by how it works.
It doesn't, generally.
Well, I don't think so either.
Sometimes.
People are dumb at 350 and 550. There's positive news about Ukraine.
Good.
And a way that people can help.
Nice.
And the Next Door Weekend Update.
Yay, boy, people want to fight.
Yes, they
fight.
Do.
Them's fighting words on Next Door.
That's coming up on 95.5 KLOS. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon.
Yo!
On Mondays, we take a look at Next Door Weekend Update.
Yeah, what have you people been fighting about over the weekend?
Next Door is an app that shows people as they are. This is a bizarre one. Someone keeps delivering soup to my house with a note that says, soup for my perfect little soup boy. I appreciate the free food, but I don't even like soup. Please stop this.
We used to send pizzas to people all the time, but I never sent soup. I love that
soup
idea.
Soup for my perfect little soup boy.
Yeah. And is it a male that's getting it even?
It'd don't
be
know.
Very funny if it was female.
That would be very funny. Here's one, of course, out of Texas. Ted Cruz sign. Where can I get a Ted Cruz sign for my mom's yard? Thanks. The response is, I understand that they have a large supply of Ted Cruz signs down in hell. Go down and get one. You can put up a poll on Nextdoor app.
A poll, okay.
And this is, anyone looking to buy a collection of Beanie Babies? No, and yes. No's are 100%. There's not a single yes.
Yeah, good. Good for you, Pete. Those are good neighbors. They're like, no, not dumping those here.
I'm thankful for all of you. Here's a nice one. Hey there, folks. I'm so thankful for all of you. I love you all. I'm drunk right now.
I was going to say, that sounds a little...
a little drunkish.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, friends. I would like to get the application TikTok. They want to get the application for it.
What, are they asking how to do it?
Yes.
Or they want him to bring it over to their house?
It seems like it would be a lot of fun to make videos with it. My nephew made my Next Door application for me, but says he will not make me a TikTok application because I'm too old.
Clearly proving the point.
I did not know there was an age limit. How do I make the application myself? Thank you for your assistance. God bless.
Well, I hope there's some really interesting answers on that. First, you must get head of bat and tail of newt.
Here's another one. Has my driveway been marked by some kind of satanic cult or what?
Let's see the marking.
It's just a couple of arrows.
Yeah.
Really just a couple arrows.
Yep.
Just white arrows.
Yep. But clearly it is of Satan.
I do love that that's the extreme that they jump right to. And then Patrick says, this is why I should never have joined this crap email site.
Because of that?
Sal says, Patrick, first of all, this is not an email site. Get your facts straight or I will sue you.
Blocked.
That's
reported.
The one I love. And this is the strangest one that I saw. It's the back of a truck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a truck bed.
Right.
And a 6 foot long sub sandwich on it.
That's a big sub.
That's a big Twinkie.
And in all caps, Jerrison writes, who left this on my truck? This is not funny. I called the police on you.
Oh.
What do you say to the police?
Right?
Someone left a sandwich in my truck.
Could they be like, oh, delicious. Can we have some? Go ahead and enjoy.
He goes on in all caps. This is a violation of privacy in the First Amendment. If I ever see another sandwich on my property again, I am going to report you to the police.
Wow. So they know Joe here, or whatever his name is.
Jerrison.
Gets mighty upset about stuff. And so they're like, what would really set him off?
See, that's the problem.
Sandwiches.
That's the problem with Next Door. If I knew where this guy lived, I would put sandwiches there at least once a week.
Maybe 50 sandwiches tonight,
yes.
At least.
So maybe it's good that we're not on it, I would say.
Or Next Door to him.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon.
Hashtag indeed.
I try to find a positive story about Ukraine every day.
That's awesome, man.
And this is a way that you can help. It does feel incredibly helpless when you watch what's going on. And you just go, wow, that's
very true. Yeah,
so awful.
I just saw that more than the amount of people that are being moved right now that are evacuating is more than or equal to the same that ran from Europe during World War II, thanks to you know who, Hitler. Last time this many people ran for their lives, it was him.
Yes.
So well done, Putin, you
here
piece of crap.
Is one way that you can help. People are booking Airbnbs in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And not using them.
That's awesome.
So they actually have found a novel way to get to money to Ukrainians in the country by booking immediate Airbnb stays, and then they just don't show up. Sarah Brown is the person who came up with this idea. She lives in Salt Lake City, and she's one of those that got the ball rolling on a Facebook group. And she booked a stay in Kyiv, and just they get money for it.
Right.
But you don't go.
Right.
Nobody wants to visit.
Not be visiting right now. Exactly, yeah. But at least the people that are trying to stay in, you know, their livelihood, they're being sustained. That's
yes.
Great.
So there was a woman in Ukraine, Miss Martia Sheva, says the bookings mean a lot. These days we do not have any income. We do not have any right to ask our country to help us because our country's resources are all for the war and for the victory.
Listen to how she feels.
Yes.
That is the way people should feel more often.
Yep.
Wow.
Airbnb hosts are paid 24 hours after a guest checks in. So people abroad are booking stays and letting the host know that it's a gesture of solidarity and they don't plan to appear.
That's awesome.
So the people there will get the money for the Airbnb, but they won't have to put anyone up.
Because they would certainly be losing out otherwise.
That is a great way of helping.
Very good way.
If you look at it and feel helpless, book an Airbnb.
Yep.
And let the host know that you're not going to be using it, but just so that they get paid. And then they'll make money.
Bit of stand of solidarity.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that's a cool way that you can help in Ukraine. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's Rock Station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon, and we have a family four-pack of one-day, one-park Disneyland Resort tickets.
Ding, 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 ding.
Discover the magic at the happiest place on Earth.
Ding, ding, ding.
Where you can enjoy the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival.
Ding, ding.
Ooh. Now through April 26th.
Yes, please.
You can explore a galaxy far, far away in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, or assemble the crew at Avengers Campus.
Assemble them!
Color
do it.
13 at 818-955-KLOS.
I want you to take a look at the time. Now, we do something at 3:50 on Mondays these days. Have been for years, actually.
Right.
Proud of this tradition. Uh-huh. Should we continue it?
Yeah.
Okay.
People are dumb when you're a dumb. Kevin and Sluggo, they ought to know.
I don't love that. All right. Victor Pratt is the guy's name from Coolidge, Arizona.
Ah, he's at our dumbbell today?
Yep.
Well done, Coolidge.
He was enjoying the day with his kids celebrating a birthday when he came across a rattlesnake.
Oh.
What do you do?
Well, if you are lucky, you have a dog like I did wandering around in the desert back in the day. And mm-hmm. I came across a couple rattlesnakes and she kept it at bay, barking its head off while I snuck around. But, you know, back up
slowly. If you don't have a dog, do you bark?
Yeah, I do anyway. A lot of times, yes.
Okay, well, Victor Pratt picked it up and played with it.
Oh, my God, Victor, come on!
Listen to this.
Grab me my hat on the tail, grab me my neck, pull me right here.
A day of fun quickly turned into a nightmare. Victor Pratt was enjoying the day with his kids, celebrating a birthday, when he came across a rattlesnake. He suddenly decided to grab and play with it, like he used to do back in the day.
Well, kids saw it.
All right, listen.
So I'm assuming he's got a bit lip. That's why he's sounding...
A lip and a cheek.
Come on, man.
And also on his neck.
Oh,
he got bit twice.
He was going for the jugular, that
yes.
snake. He's like, dude.
And they show him holding the snake's head like you're supposed to, so it's holding the mouth open.
Right.
But then it just gets loose and literally bites him in the face. Why? Because this is what he used to do when he was a kid.
How did he make it to adulthood?
I did so many things as a kid that I would never do now.
And I ran into snakes a couple of times back in the day, rattlers.
What does this guy think? I poured like fireworks, all of the fireworks into a can mm-hmm. and threw in a match and it didn't light. So I looked over it. And it singed all of my hair.
Wow, but, you're lucky to have eyeballs.
But you know what? I was
not playing with a snake. Yeah.
And now I'm not.
Right.
And so I'm not going to do that again. But he saw the snake and he was like, I used to play with snakes when I was younger, so let's do this.
Wow.
I was being grabbed it. I was trying to catch it and I was playing with it like little kids would do.
Like little not very bright kids
yes.
would do.
Yes.
This is how you play a snake and I wasn't thinking. And this time it got me on the neck.
And it's not Pratt's first snake bite. He admits he was once bitten before on his hand when he was only 19 years old.
All
so
right.
he immediately
go ahead.
So he knew what to do this time around.
All right, now stop it there.
Yeah.
So he got bit before.
Yeah. When he was 19.
When he was 19
years old. You know, snakes, especially rattlers, they just want to be left alone. They don't want anything to do with you.
He wants to play with them. And he played with them as a kid. He played with them when he was 19 and got bit in the hand.
My guess is his parents didn't know he was out there playing with snakes.
Maybe not, but now he's a parent and he has his kids with him.
And they get to see dad get bit by a snake.
In the face!
As well he deserves.
Oh my God. So then he says, because I was bit when I was 19, I know how to take care of it, or I know that I need to rush to get this taken care of.
I know it takes 8 seconds for the thing to go through your body.
8 seconds.
So I went to the nearest hospital and concentrated my mind to see what's going to happen.
What okay. mind?
He went to the hospital and concentrated
his mind.
And like you can wish it, like if you just have the will to be bitten by a snake, but...
You need a teenage enema nurse out there to suck the venom out of your hand.
Correct,
like,
yes.
Quickly.
Your face and neck.
Or don't play with the snake!
And just... Keep my mind strong. Keep focused.
Dr. Stephen Curry at Banner University Medical Center took care of Pratt while he was in ICU. He says the outcome could have been different if Pratt waited longer to seek medical attention.
Yeah, it could have also been different if he hadn't picked up the snake and started playing with it.
It's a rattlesnake.
A rattlesnake.
Yes, they will strike, but
of
they
course.
Only basically defensively. They don't.
Yes,
they don't.
No, they're not out looking for you.
No. But if you go and you reach down and you put your hand on its head.
And you pick it up and you start whipping it around going, hey, kids, look at this dumb thing.
Then you deserve to get bit in the face.
I'm rock stupid. Holy cow.
You deserve to get bit in the face.
People are dumb when you're a dum-dum. Kevin and Sluggo, they ought to know.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. KLOS, you are caller 13. Who's this?
Right on, a fellow Arizonan, buddy.
There you go.
Do you play with snakes?
Heck no. I grew up on the res, man. We were like run away from them things.
Absolutely.
Yes. And by the way, that's the way everyone should be with a rattlesnake.
Yes,
you don't grab
hard.
It and play with it.
No.
Exactly. We saw a 6-footer, and I mean, I was like, whoa, I've never seen a snake that big.
I don't think I have either in real life, no.
Yeah.
By the way, you want a family 4-pack of one-day, one-park Disneyland Resort tickets.
Right on.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. I love you guys' show.
Thank you.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon. I am obsessed with Black Ops.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah, with, you know, Delta Force and every other movie I watch is something about Special Ops.
Sure. Okay.
I don't know. I'm just obsessed with it.
No, I understand.
So we're going to talk to an author right now, Rick Prado, who wrote a book called Black Ops because he was... one of the special people that were in that unit.
Now, I know this is a real book. This is a true story. So do we really have him on the phone?
We do. Rick. Oh. Rick.
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Tell us about your book. What's the name of it? What's it about?
The book is Black Ops, and it's, you know, the life of a CIA shadow warrior is a complete title. But primarily, it's a book meant to educate as many people as possible about what the agency, what the CIA really is all about, and the people that we have in our service. You know, the most most maligned and misunderstood federal agency in the whole U.S. system is the CIA, because we're so secretive that Hollywood fills in the vacuum and everything is Jason Bourne, and, you know, we're always, you know, described as, you know, maniacal assassins, you know, that kind of immoral, corrupt, treacherous drug dealing, and nothing could be further from the truth. You know, I've worked with some of the finest men and women, even beyond my special military time, and you know, there's a solemn reminder. We have 137 stars on our wall, and we're a small service because CIA is small compared to Army, Navy, or Air Force. Plus, our operational compartments, our departments are a lot smaller. But 137 stars of men and women in my agency who have given up their life, anonymously in most cases, for representing the agency. And a third of those are actually after 9/11. Several of them I knew, especially Mike Spann and Jennifer Matthews. So that's the purpose, the book. You will read and live through real CIA operations done by real CIA officers.
Let me ask you a question. You brought up Jason Bourne, and I love those series.
Literally just watched it last night.
but no, I understand that CIA agents don't just go around killing people to kill people, but does it occasionally happen the other side where they fill in, which is the CIA tries to get rid of their own people?
Never.
Both are wrong.
In 25 years of my career, I've never even heard rumors of that. That is completely erroneous. I mean, you know, our intelligence services are very different than the Western intelligence services, are very different than the communist bloc intelligence services. We recruit for strengths, people that have compatible ideologies to us, and we work with them. The communist bloc folks, for the most part, they recruit for weaknesses. So they find people that are alcoholics or got gambling problems or are cheating on their wives or whatever, and they get blackmailed. So
I could work for a Russian CIA, is what you're saying. No.
Well, I don't know you well enough.
I hope not.
What are some of the places that you've gone undercover for the CIA?
I have been in 50 different countries in the 25 years that I was done. But I did six permanent, what we call PCS, permanent change of stations. I was in Honduras doing the Contra stuff in the border, and that was a paramilitary tour. Mm-hmm. I was in Costa Rica doing the same, but from a completely different venue. Then there's a Latin American country that was my first counterterrorism. I cannot mention the name, but it's in South America, and the bad guys were all over the place. That was a very exciting. From there, I went to the Philippines, where, again, I was working counterinsurgencies for against the National People's Army and the Abu Sayyaf. The National People's Army had just killed Colonel Nick Rowe, an American hero, when I got there. So and then after that, I was in a named Muslim radical African country, and we referred to it as Shangri-La in the book, just because, again, I wasn't allowed to say that. The other 50-some tours I've done, Latin America, I've done Asia, I've done Middle East, Africa, and, of course, Europe.
What's the shortest stint that you've done? You just dropped in. You're in the Air Force, right?
That's correct.
You just dropped in, did a mission, and then left immediately?
Yeah, I joined the pararescue in 71. And my only goal was, you know, I had awoken to the fact that this country took me in as a Cuban refugee at the age of 10 and took me in our arms with open arms. So I developed a debt of honor. So not knowing how to do it, I went into the military, and pararescue were the ones that picked me up. So my goal was to go to Vietnam. Yes, I was that stupid.
That's a terrible goal.
I hate to admit it, but it was my debt of honor. And then what happened was, I couldn't go to Vietnam because Vietnam, by the time I got my beret, Vietnam was winding down and there was hardly any slots there. So I stayed in the reserves, but, you know, I started doing other work as a paramedic outside. And then I applied for the agency in 1979 or 80. And they brought me in on contract at first, and then they got to know me and our paramilitary guys when the Contra program started in against the Sandinista communist regime, Cuban-backed and Russian-backed. They needed a native Spanish-speaking operations officer with military background. That was me.
What was it like coming to the United States at the age of 10, knowing nobody and not speaking language?
From
going
Cuba,
going to an orphanage.
Yeah,
you know, I believe that God puts a path in front of all of us, and if we have the courage to accept it, he kind of, you know, puts things in front of you. The first part was literally at the age of 7, seeing firefights in front of my town when the Cuban Revolution was going on. And then shortly after Castro took over in 59, what they did to my parents, what they did to my first country, and seeing the persecution, seeing people hanging from trees, and then take a 10-year-old and put him on an airplane by himself to end up at Pueblo, Colorado in an orphanage. I turned 11 at the orphanage.
Wow.
I think that whole process of events planted that seed that once I became an adult, I said, I got to fight this communism stuff. This is evil. And for some reason, I thought that I was wired for it, and turned out I was.
So let me ask you a question. You've been doing this since 1971. Are you looking at retirement yet? And when it finally shows up, do you think you're actually going to be able to relax?
Yeah. Well, the book is my last firefight.
Oh, nice. Okay?
Now, that doesn't mean I get
so
a lot
far.
Of employment. So well, I enjoy working with our special operations guys. I teach them some of my craft and some of the gunning stuff. But that's, you know, once every couple of months or something.
Right.
But the rest of the time, I'm going to be riding horses and motorcycles.
There you go.
Now you're talking. Good. Speaking of fighting the communists, are there any Americans that we don't know about on the ground in the Ukraine?
I imagine, and what we would have done, what I did several times in Kardashians when these kind of things came up. We would either be in the next country or away from the pointy end of stuff, because we have to maintain the political sanctity of non-involvement, non-direct involvement, and especially in this case, we don't want to start a third war. But definitely helping these people, training. We've had people there, I'm sure, from months and months and months ago training these people up, because this is not a surprise. You know, guys, the thing that surprises me the most is that people are surprised that Putin is doing it.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, how did you not see he was going to go back and do this again?
He's been literally saying it.
Yeah.
He said that as soon as he took over, he says, I want to reconstruct the Soviet Union. Well, how do you do that?
Right.
You know, since 1917, communism has been an oppressive, dominating, and expansionistic world.
Yep.
What part of this don't you understand?
Right.
I think that he just saw an opportunity now. And that's why he's moving in that direction.
All right, so the call comes and they say, Rick, listen, we know you're retired, you wrote a book, but we need you in Ukraine.
I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do.
Nice.
You know the old saying, this dog can still hunt?
Yep. Fantastic. The book is called Black Ops, and it's available now. And Rick, we very much appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, guys. God bless. Take care.
95.5 KLOS on the California's Rock Station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon.
So you're going to go join the CIA now, aren't you? Quit this.
How do you know I'm not already? How do you know I'm not a sleeper? Sleeper agent.
Definitely a sleeper. No doubt about that.
I want to talk about swinging because it's always fascinated me.
Really?
Not to the point of wanting to do it.
Right.
But I don't know how you make a relationship work that way.
When was the first time you heard about the concept? I'll tell you, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, what was that, late 60s movie? And our family talked about it all the time because we had a Bob and Carol in our family. So mm-hmm. they were always like, you're going out with Ted and Alice. You guys are doing it. You're all. And I'm like, what are they talking about? And then I found out, I'm like,
you don't want to know that.
No.
There is a couple that has come out as swingers on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're saying some of these things just to get some reaction. I don't believe it for a second.
Right. Okay.
But I do want to talk about swinging.
Sure.
And if you're a swinger, we'd like to hear from you at 818-955-KLOS.
Swingeth thou?
Yeah. Or have you in the past?
Right.
And how does it work?
And how bad does it go sometimes?
And how good does it go sometimes?
Yeah. How good does it go sometimes?
But this is the couple that's talking about swinging.
People seem to think it's like this shady underground thing that happens, and it's not, it's happening everywhere. You just don't know about it.
It was love at first sight. We didn't realise at the time.
We didn't know it at all.
Before her relationship with Lee, Terry had identified as bisexual and explored relationships with both women and men. After a few years together, Lee asked Terry if she ever missed being with a woman.
That's a bit of a weird situation when your partner asks you, like, do you miss being with a woman? You don't want to say yes and upset them.
Yeah, especially if they're better. You know, it's like, right. You know what? I am really thinking about going back.
Yeah, really? I miss her a lot.
I'll tell you what.
You also don't want to say no and lie. So it's a bit of a bit awkward situation for me. But, it was all my idea, like, to get another person to join us, wasn't it?
Was it, though? I mean, the guy's like, so, you miss girls? Hey, why don't you bring a girl over? Hey, you know?
I don't know, because that does seem like a guy thing to do.
Right. But we're talking of four people, right? Swingers are generally like you're trading.
No, they're talking about three.
Oh, just three.
They're talking about just inviting someone else into the sex.
Well, it's a little different. Usually you swing, you have two partners and two partners.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
So you both have sex with someone else is what you found out
exactly,
firsthand.
Yes,
which obviously I was very uncomfortable about. That.
Liar!
Yeah, they
he's
both
lying
lie.
About it.
He's lying. Well, I hated the idea, I'll tell you that right now.
Don't bring that girl in here, girl.
Now, they have come out recently, the same couple has come out recently and said that they swing with, and I don't believe this,
mm-hmm.
her mom.
Oh, that's old school. That's going back to biblical rules against. Mom's pretty hot, though. I
two or three times a week.
Yeah.
And if that's not
two or three times a week.
Yes.
Wow. How old are they? They can't be in their 50s.
I don't. But again, I don't believe it. I don't think that just sounds like something sensational to get some headlines.
Yes, yes.
To get some attention.
But there are certainly people doing it without any doubt whatsoever. And
without
even with
the mom part.
Even with mom.
If we could find someone with a mom, sure, of course. We would want to talk to you. But if you are a swinger or you have threesomes, you bring someone else into your room, we would like to talk to you.
And specifically, I mean, you know, if you're like seeing your partner with someone else the first time, that's got to be kind of bad sometimes, I would think. Like, oh, what have I done?
Yeah, I don't know. I would think so, too.
Yeah, I would think that would tend to suddenly go south occasionally.
I don't know. That's why we need to talk to you.
Yeah, we really need to talk to you.
818-955-KLOS. We're talking about swingers. We have a man on the phone. You and your wife were swingers?
Yes.
Okay. How does that work?
Walk us through it. Are you talking like two other people besides yourself and your wife?
Threesomes or couples.
Right. Okay.
Okay. How would you pick? How would you ask them?
Well, there are online sites that you can go to.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Of course, right.
And you can view all these different people and couples, you know, in your area that are like you.
Right.
And you would pick your by one and you'd start a conversation. And if, you know, you had the same things in mind, then you would make a date.
So when did you first start? When did you and your wife first start doing this? How?
I mean, how long we were married?
Yeah, exactly.
I really don't remember. It might have been at least 10 years after
10 years.
We were married.
Okay.
Maybe. Was it great? Okay, bad?
It was great.
Was there ever a time when it wasn't?
No.
Oh, nice.
Every time it wasn't.
All right. Okay. Well, that's
cool. As far as why would you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, like you say, you and your wife would never do that. Well, what do you and your wife do for fun? You go out for a movie, have dinner, you know.
I mean that's slightly different than having sex with another person.
It is. But this is recreational sex.
All right.
Right. Right.
And if you have full trust.
Right.
I mean, my wife and I never played apart. We always played together.
Right.
I gotcha.
And we have full trust in each other.
And that's kind of key to it, isn't it? Isn't it like...
Oh, you have to have trust in each other.
Yeah.
And but you know what? It makes your own sex life better. You go home alone, but you have sex with other people.
Then you're like, I'm exhausted.
Hey, do that one thing that she was doing.
Yeah.
You know the thing. Right on, dude. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate your candor. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Right on. Take care. 818-955-KLOS.
Swingers?
Not the movie.
We are talking about swingers. KLOS, hello.
Hey, hi. Are you still taking calls for swingers?
Yes, please. We are.
Okay, cool.
How long have you been doing it?
8 years.
And what led you to the first try?
I met somebody that was already doing that, and after we went on a couple dates, they explained that to me, and it was funny because I had previously been curious about it.
Right.
Did not know how to
get in,
make it happen, or find people that were interested in it.
Have you talked to any of your really close friends? Have you told them, and what's their general reaction?
Yes. Mixed reactions.
Yeah.
Some of them like to hear, like, how it is and whatever. Another one happened to say, oh my gosh, me too.
I just
haven't told anybody.
All right.
Wow.
And then, but pretty much in the last 8 years, my circle of friends has become all other swingers.
That makes sense.
I do have other friends at work and from my life previously, but
what do you find is the most difficult thing about that lifestyle?
I mean, not really in my relationship currently that I've been in the last 4 years. There's not jealousy, but in the previous relationship I was in the first 4 years,
right,
there was a lot of jealousy on the other person's part, which was difficult to deal with.
I imagine, yeah.
And how to work with that.
Yeah, you got to kind of have just in your mind that this is just for the moment and it's not going home with that person permanently, right? Sort of in your mind.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Right.
No, yeah. It's just physical fun.
Right.
At the time. I think that's why they call it play, right?
Right.
When you're going to go out on a date, you tell your friends, oh, we're going to go play with this couple, right?
I gotcha. And are you happy? Are you happy that you're in that community?
I can't imagine ever living my life any other way now.
No kidding. Wow, very interesting.
And, and all the friends we've made through it, we have friends that have been in the lifestyle, as many people like to say, for like 20 years, and they all say the same thing. Like, we have other people that we hang out with, mostly families, you know, that don't know, obviously, but as far as socializing and trips and vacations and friends, I can't imagine living any other way now.
Wow.
Like, what would we do all the time? And we go on vacations and trips with all of our friends, our group of friends, all the time. That's what we do, other than, like, house parties or pool parties.
Right. Right on. Well, thank you very much for sharing the information. It's very interesting. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome. No problem. Thanks. Love you, guys.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's Rock Station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon.
Preach it, sister.
I have a new feature for you called What Comes Next.
Okay.
So I'm going to play part of a story.
All right.
And then you guess what comes next. And if you can't, then we'll continue giving hints.
Okay. All right.
So here's the beginning.
As I was out walking around in Denver's Central Park neighborhood, there were a lot of kids getting off the school bus and families out walking the dogs as well. All of them, though, had the same reaction to this news. Disgust and shock.
Disgust and shock.
Disgust and shock.
Disgust and.
And shock. Shock. Oh, disgust and shock.
Yes.
I see.
That was their reaction to this story.
Okay, the story...
Now you have to guess.
I have to guess.
Yes, if you have any guess.
A moist nude clown was seen in the neighborhood.
I mean, that would be
disgusting. And shocking.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Isaac Fields takes his dog Margot here to this dog park almost every day.
Good girl. Good girl.
He moved here about 3 years ago.
Pretty shocking. I guess I don't see too many strange things happening around here usually.
All right.
Well, if it's a strange dog park and it's strange and it's shocking and disgusting, is it our friend Puppy Jenna? Maybe she
is not
out there barking for people and wagging her tail. No?
Somehow I think he wouldn't have complained about that.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Here's the next clip.
Denver police say someone broke into a box truck, took a dolly and a box.
Wow. I would have been so terrified.
All right.
Dolly in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
a dolly in a box.
A box of dildos.
Sources say it was a blue and white cardboard box about 20 inches by 15 by 18 with Science Care written on the side.
Science care. Well, that's sort of animal food, isn't
written
it?
Written on the side of the box that was stolen.
That was shocking and disgusting.
Yes.
That this was
strange, never seen around here.
Okay, so dog park, maybe lab experiments with animal bits in it?
Here's your answer.
Okay.
On the inside, human heads.
Damn!
Someone stole a box of human heads. What?
Police told us they were on their way to be used for medical research.
I hope so.
Terrifying.
Can you imagine?
What are you going to do with a box full of human heads?
And did they know?
They had to have
And
known.
If they didn't, well, that's bad surprise.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, wait, science, this is like dog food, man. Open it up. It's a bunch of human heads.
95.5 KLOS, Southern California's Rock Station. It is Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon and time for What We Learned, brought to you by your Southern California Toyota dealers. They make it easy. Somebody in Denver stole a box of human heads.
You know, when you're out looking for something to steal, the box of human heads is usually lower on my list.
I don't know what you would do with that. There were seven heads in it, to be exact.
Soccer.
Yes.
Good great game idea. Of soccer.
Swiggers seem to be incredibly happy. Sluggo is still a no for me.
Come on, man.
And in People Are Dumb, Victor Pratt from Arizona found a rattlesnake with his kids, picked it up to play with it, and it bit him in the neck and in the face.
How? What do you know? Playing with rattlesnakes? Not such a great idea.
Guaranteeing therapy for his kids.
No kidding. I mean, seriously.
What a dumbass.
All right, I'm off to pet the rattlesnake.
Enjoy. I'll see you tomorrow. We started this hour talking about the world's fastest clapper, who was impressive, and yet we didn't care.
It was really cool, and yet extremely boring.
Yes. So what is your most impressive skill?
An impressive talent nobody cares about.
Yes.
I can make this weird popping noise with my tongue.
I can do a really good goat imitation.
I wiggle my jaw back and forth, and I can even play a tune sounding like a banjo.
Kevin and Sluggo, Cold Read, Shakespeare Theater.
Neither one of us can cold read.
And neither one of us knows Shakespeare.
Yeah, no, not really. So if I'm not mistaken, this is from Romeo and Juliet, but I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know for sure. Okay, go ahead, Katrina.
So I start.
Wherever you are. Yes.
Moved in good time. Let him that moved you hither remove you hence. I knew you at the first. You were unmovable.
Why? What's unmovable?
Why do you have such a short line?
Big old rock and roll label party happened on this day in rock in 1973 at Max's Kansas City in New York City via Columbia Records, welcoming the newest addition to their label's roster, Bruce Springsteen. Kevin will be excited to hear this. It was on this day in rock in 1976 when Elton John became only the second rock star since the Beatles to be immortalized at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in London. When did you buy your first compact disc player? Because it was on this day in rock in 1987 when the first four Beatles albums were released on CD. Please Please Me with the Beatles, A Hard Day's Night, and Beatles for Sale.